You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Since 2006, there have been nearly 30,000 deaths in Mexico related to drug violence. This, in spite of the fact that since 2008, the United States has been pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into Mexico to combat drug smuggling. Some, including Jorge Castaneda, Mexico's ex-foreign minister, view the so-called war on drugs as a dead-end war and a war of choice. But the U.S. Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, would like to expand that dead-end war. She is calling for an escalation of U.S. military activity in Mexico to deal with the growing violence. Laura Carlson is director of the Americas Program for the Center for International Policy in Mexico, and she has joined me by phone from Mexico to speak about the drug violence there. Hello, Laura.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity to be on the show.
Well, thanks for joining us. Now, what do you make of the comments from Hillary Clinton earlier this month about the situation there in Mexico?
Hillary Clinton said that Mexico is similar to the situation that Colombia was in 20 years ago. And this caused a lot of controversy here in Mexico because the situations are actually very, very different. In Colombia, there was and continues to be a civil war with insurgency guerrillas fighting against the government for control of territory throughout the country. It's been going on for a long time. In Mexico, there's no armed insurgency now since the truce after only 12 days with the Zapatista Army for National Liberation in 1994. So we have a very, very different situation. We also have a different situation with drug trafficking. When Clinton made these statements regarding the fact that Mexico was facing an insurgency, essentially she was opening the door to a much broader type of U.S. military intervention in Mexico along the lines of what's been taking place in Colombia since the year 2000 when Plan Colombia was launched. This raises the shackles of people in Mexico and in the United States who are fighting for peace. And the real reason behind that is that Mexico has always been very reluctant to have the kind of military intervention by the United States that we've seen in Colombia. So right now people are watching the situation very carefully because the interpretation is that there's a strong current in Washington that's pushing for much broader military intervention of the United States in Mexico and also pushing to accelerate a drug war that's had tremendous costs for Mexican society.
Well, you've mentioned Plan Colombia. Can you tell us a little about that? What is the nature of that policy?
It's interesting because Plan Colombia began under the Clinton administration in the year 2000, a little before, and it was originally only authorized by Congress to be a program that would support efforts against drug trafficking. And then as they deepened, and it includes both cooperation and the sales of military equipment and this drug war model, which is essentially a model that says to stop international drug trade, we're going to do interdiction and enforcement. That means going to the sources, the supply countries, and blocking off physically the shipment of illegal drugs to the United States, which is, of course, the major market, as well as trying to concentrate on arrests. So these are methods of fighting transnational crime that are actually among the most violent you could possibly choose in that situation. And that is what was chosen in Colombia as well. They were very wary in Congress about spreading that out to a counterinsurgency battle because that was considered an internal affair. And there was a feeling in Congress that the United States should not get involved militarily in an internal affair in Colombia. However, it was years later that they did actually extend it to counterinsurgency. So the idea of this model taking place in Mexico is very, very worrisome because, again, we've seen the way that it starts out as being against drug trafficking, supposedly, but extending militarization. We now have over nearly 50,000 troops in the streets of Mexico that are fighting the drug war, and that's a big part of the reason that we've seen this increase both in violence and in human rights violations. And if that were to become deepened through the intervention of the United States and a Plan Colombia-type model, We would see more military-to-military cooperation. It's not likely that we would see the presence of U.S. troops the same way that there are in Colombia. And there's a very small level in Colombia as well, because there's so much resistance to that within Mexico. But we're already seeing an extension of U.S. agents from the Drug Enforcement Administration, from the FBI, and from other agencies actually working in Mexican territory.
And what was the reaction in Mexico to Clinton's comments?
The government reaction first was to deny that Mexico was in the situation of Colombia 20 years ago, when the drug cartels were so strong. Pablo Escobar, the famous drug lord who virtually ran parts of the country, had this tremendous impact on both the economy and on politics there. But beyond that, they kind of missed the point that what she was really announcing was this much deeper plan of intervention, and that's because they've actually been encouraging that form of participation and intervention from the United States within the Mexican government, both to have additional funds to fight their drug war and also to be able to legitimate it in a sense politically by counting on the support and the speeches that are made in supporting both Felipe Calderón, the president, and his security strategy coming from the United States. This is, in my opinion, one of the worst things that could happen to Mexico, because when one looks at those statistics, there were very few deaths related to drug trafficking before this interdiction and enforcement model was announced and imposed at the end of the year 2006. And there's no question, I think anybody who looks at the statistics, and even the people who promote this model, are admitting that it is precisely this model of the drug war that has led to these horrendous levels of violence that we're seeing throughout the country. What they're trying to do is tell us that this is absolutely the only way we can get rid of organized crime within Mexico, and it's obvious to anybody that organized crime is a major problem, and the levels of brutality and violence, plus their economic power, have been growing in recent years. However, that's a myth. It's a myth that there are no other options in terms of how you fight transnational organized crime. In fact, this drug war was one that was invented by President Nixon in the 70s. It's a very specific historical model. And one of the main reasons that it was initiated was because it allows a concentration of power in the presidency, and it allows social control, both through militarization in the case of Mexico and in the case of the United States, through massive imprisonment of youth by cracking down on many of these drug wars. And this was something that was very convenient to President Calderón, because he came into office after elections in 2006 that were highly questioned. In fact, that even today there's a lot of doubt about whether they were legitimate because of accusations of fraud. The first thing he had to do was find a way to consolidate his presidency by relying on the army and by launching this drug war and identifying an enemy out there. He was able to increase both the control he had within Mexico as well as his popularity for a time, although that consensus now is breaking down considerably.
Yeah, this policy of, as you call it, interdiction and enforcement, it doesn't seem to be, it seems to focus more on taking the drug smugglers out, taking out the operatives. There seems to be less focus on the money and where the money is going. Why is that?
That's exactly it. That's when I mentioned that this is a specific model and that there are many other things that are not being done, that's probably the most important thing. We know that this money has to go somewhere. We're talking about approximately $30 billion a year that Mexican drug cartels make. And the estimates are that the majority of that is laundered in the United States. And here in Mexico, many drug experts say that there is information about the types of so-called legitimate businesses that are run through drug money, and yet there isn't a crackdown. So if you look at the reasons why they've been so slow to act in terms of breaking down this financial empire that the drug traffickers have, both in the United States and in Mexico, it becomes fairly obvious that that's because most of this money is being laundered through mainstream financial institutions. the big banks and other types of stock market and other things. And there's been reluctance to go after those institutions because, in addition, that's a lot of liquidity for an economy like Mexico, especially that's going through a recession. So there's been a constant criticism that there hasn't been enough done. There's a new law on drug laundering, money laundering here in Mexico. However, the latest statistics that I looked at show that in the United States and in Mexico, when you look at the amount of money that's gone to really breaking down these financial systems and the amount of personnel that's dedicated, it's minimal when you compare that to the military equipment and the private security contracts that they are basically selling to companies in the United States through the Merida Initiative.
Given the ineffectiveness of this current strategy, are some policymakers having doubts about the soundness of Plan Mexico or the Merida Initiative?
Well, we're seeing now many more doubts in Mexico because the cost has just become so extreme. People are actually scared that this war has unleashed a kind of violence that's never been seen before, and that neither the president nor anybody really has control or any idea of what to do about the direction in which Mexico is going. So you do see a lot more doubts, both from politicians and from citizens here in Mexico. Unfortunately, in the United States, there's been a lack of understanding of the way in which the Merida Initiative is supporting this failed and disastrous drug war in Mexico and is increasing militarization and violence. Many people just automatically take the point of view that Mexico is in a bad way, and of course it is. It's a terrible situation. The United States has to help Mexico, and so we should give more money to this kind of proposal. This is really irresponsible policymaking, because you don't just throw money on a problem without looking at whether the strategy that you're supporting is actually functioning. It means that, especially in this case, the more money you give, actually the worse situation becomes because of the militarization that's taking place and because you're giving money to these highly corrupt and violent and guilty of violations of human rights agencies such as the Mexican Armed Forces, not all of them, but a large part, and the Mexican police forces. They're not reflecting on what they're doing is basically the problem.
And what are the chances that the United States will change course and come up with a more constructive drug strategy?
With these statements from Hillary Clinton, the chances look very dim. In fact, it certainly appears that they're trying to move in the opposite direction, going toward more militarization, completely, if not completely, but practically ignoring the part of the problem that exists within U.S. territory, within the borders of the United States. Why not take that same money that's going to the corrupt army and police forces in Mexico, although actually that's not even true, it's going to contracts to companies like Blackwater, to Black Hawk helicopters and defense companies in the United States to come down into Mexico. So there's a lot of powerful interests that are lobbying in Congress to keep those contracts open through the Merida Initiative and, in fact, to expand it. And I think in large part Hillary Clinton is responding to that pressure from the defense contractors when she announces that we should have an expansion in the along the lines of Plan Colombia. So I'm very pessimistic, actually, that there's going to be a major change. We've also had a problem that some well-intentioned organizations, human rights organizations in Washington, have actually supported the Merida Initiative despite the failed drug war model that's used by saying that we want to add these human rights conditions. And there are some conditions that say that Mexican army and police forces cannot use torture, that they have to be vetted by certain exams that they give the police force in order to guarantee that they're not as corrupt. However, those conditions have been completely ineffective. First of all, they weren't applied, and they just reserved part of the money, and then there was a report issued by the State Department that actually said that the Mexican security forces were not meeting the conditions but released the money anyway. So I think there's been a lack of clarity in terms of strategy of saying absolutely stop this drug war model, rethink it, focus efforts on the part of transnational crime that exists within your own borders, and we will see a reduction in the violence.
Well, thanks very much, Laura, for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
We've been speaking with Laura Carlson. Laura Carlson is director of the Americas Program for the Center for International Policy in Mexico City. And you can read her recent article on Plan Mexico at the journal Foreign Policy in Focus. And you can find that journal online at fpif.org. Again, that's fpif.org.